Hello, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Bad Hair Day by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I don't have much to report, as I normally do in the intro. Really, Cat? This is the time that you're going to crawl all over loud bags? Anyway, I don't have much to report because it's 2 days later. My girlfriend's been gone. I went to bed early. I miss my girlfriend. Like, I know it's stupid, and I know guys are, like, supposed to look forward to, like, being alone, and I did that for, like, one night when I first did Goosebumps, but now I'm just like, fuck. She should come home even earlier. Anyway, yeah, so not much to say. I only have one shout-out to the old, Satchels of Gold on Twitter, who complained to me about not getting a shout-out, and, you know, I'm happy to oblige any request. I would say her first name, but she shares it with my least favorite person on this planet, and the letters, they burn my tongue. I don't want to do it, so fuck that. But anyway, heyo, shout out to you and your corgis, and your other dogs that you work with, and more dog shit. My dog is downstairs, keeping it real. That's all. Anyway, let's just start this. Fuck it. We don't need an intro. Chapter number 14. I jumped up on my bike. Too bad, I cried. See you at home. Tim, Jiny wailed. You can't leave me here. I would have left her there if I could. She can take care of herself. But I knew Mom and Dad would kill me. No shit. Like, the 10-year-old girl, you're just gonna leave her there? You know what happens? You need some love line. Besides, when the guards caught her, she'd tell on me. I'd still get in trouble. I sat on my bike, watching the guards run right for us. Then, I spotted her bike on the edge of the parking lot. It's over there! I told her. Hurry! She raced to her bike. I balanced the case on top of my handlebars. It wasn't easy. Stop! A guard yelled. Jiny and I sped out of the parking lot and down the dark street. Hey, stop! The guard shouted, like guards are known to do, telling people not to do cool shit. The beams of their flashlights blinded me for a second. I pedaled as hard as I could. Jiny darted ahead of me. I clutched the black case with one hand and steered with the other. The case slowed me down. The guards were gaining on us. At the first corner, I zoomed left. Jiny followed. I thought she was in the lead. Whatever. I glanced back. The guards had stopped moving. One of them bent over panting. I like that move. That, like, every single fat guy running, just the... I like to do that one when I'm complaining about nothing. They'll never catch us now, Jiny shouted, unaware of cars or motorcycles or people that can run fast. We biked home as fast as we could. The streets were empty and really dark. The lights were out in most of the houses. It's after midnight, I realized. Please let Mom and Dad be asleep. If they catch us, they'll ground us till we're 35. I'd almost rather be arrested. You don't, when you're 35, you shouldn't be hanging out with your parents that much anyway. I like how I just explained that I spent forever just hanging out with my parents. You shouldn't live with them. That's what I'm getting at. Okay? Parents, you know, they're stupid. You know, like teachers. Teachers are stupid too. If you're in school, don't listen to teachers. They're the worst people on the planet. Their entire goal was to be in the front of the class. That's as far as they saw. I know I've gone on that rant before, but I don't respect teachers. But then, if I got arrested, Mom and Dad would still ground me. We braked at our street and walked our bikes into the driveway. Shh, Jiny whispered. Shh yourself, bitch, I whispered back. We parked the bikes in the garage. It was hard to see without the lights on. On the way into the house, Jiny tripped over the lawnmower. Ow, she yelped. Quiet, I snapped. We both froze. Did Mom and Dad hear us? Silence. I think it's okay, I whispered. That hurt, Jiny whined. Shh, whinin' jinin'? Doesn't say that, but you know. We sneaked into the house. I'll hide the case in my room, I whispered. I want to look at it now, Jiny protested. I shook my head. It's mine. Also, once again, I was drinking Steel Reserve earlier while recording, but now I'm drinking a vodka with club soda with pomegranate juice, as I've been doing a lot lately. No, it's not. You have to share it with me. Amazo gave it to me, I insisted, even though it wasn't exactly true. I'm going to tell Mom and Dad, Jiny threatened. I'll tell them you woke me up and forced me to go with you to Midnight Mansion. You little brat, I cried angrily. Stupid Jiny. Okay, I'll share it with you. Promise. If you promise not to tell Mom and Dad. I promise, but you can't keep the case in your room. It's both of ours now. I sighed. All right, I'll hide it in the attic, okay? She nodded. But we won't touch it until Saturday. I said, on Saturday, we'll have plenty of time to try everything out and do it right. Deal? Deal. On Saturday, we'll both open the case at the same time, together. Right. Now, go to bed. I'll sneak it up to the attic. Wait. Maybe the bad hair day? Right, here's my speculation. Maybe the rabbit from Amazo's whole thing is in that bag. And it's like, what, a weeknight now? So he's going to die in the suitcase because there's no food or anything for it. And the bad hair day is going to be the angry ghost of the rabbit. Ready to chew off his hat holder. That's a head. We tried to be careful going up the creaky steps. It took us about 10 minutes. At the top, I paused to listen for sounds from Mom and Dad's room. Everything is okay, Jiny whispered. Dad is snoring. She crept into her room and shut the door. I tiptoed up to the attic, lugging the black case. I shut the attic door and switched on the light. Where can I hide this? I wondered, gazing around at all the junk. I stepped over piles of old magazines. In one corner sat my old toy chest. Perfect, I thought, opening the chest. I pulled out a toy school bus and a couple of trucks to make room for the case. What's in this bitch anyway? I wondered as I hefted a Mazo's case. I held a Mazo's magic kit in my hands. How could I go to sleep without seeing what's in it? How could I wait 2 whole days until Saturday? Maybe I'll take a little peek inside, I thought. Just a quick one. Then I'll go to bed. I set the case on the floor. My hands trembled as I fumbled with the clasp. Here goes, I thought, tugging open the clasp. I pulled the case open, and it blew up in my face. Oh, like one of those bank bags that leaves you looking like a smurf. Okay, I feel like I didn't comment enough on that. It's the first chapter, so I'm not really in the zone. So I'm going to finish this drink and grab another and see how that goes. You know what? I'll grab the last Tall Can of Steel Reserve. That's what Goosebumps is made for. Or what is made for... Forget it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go on to chapter 15 in a second. Alright. Will someone animate me drinking Steel Reserve at like Popeye's spinach where it makes my body go all crazy and then my brain works well? Because that's how it works. I just opened it up and... Chapter number 15. I fell over backwards. I laid sprawled on the floor, covering my eyes. What happened? Am I dead? I don't think when you're dead you can ask that question. But old Dune doesn't know what happens when you die. He just thinks that you rot in the ground. I opened my eyes. I squeezed my arms. I grabbed my chest. I grabbed for my dingle. Alright, I'm okay, I realized. My dingle is still there, and for some reason fully erect. I sat up. The case sat on the floor. No signs of an explosion. Carefully, I crawled over to the case like a one-man human centipede. I could have sworn it had blown up, but I didn't see anything that would blow up. Then, I tapped to... What? Oh. Then... Taped, come on, how often do you see the word taped? Taped to the inside of the top flap, I saw a little metal disc. I tapped it. It made a muffled roar. That's what a muffled roar sounds like. God, I'm good. Except I lost my place. I examined the metal disc. It was an electronic chip. It made an explosion sound effect when I shook it and tapped it. Just one of Amazo's tricks. Wait, he's just an electrical engineer? That's not exciting. What else is in here? I wondered. I like that his trick is a yak back. Kids, do you know what a yak back is? No, you guys have phones, never mind. I pulled out all kinds of cool stuff. A pair of trick handcuffs, a pocket watch for hypnotizing people, three different decks of trick cards, a rope. That's for squelching. Squanching? It's for beating off with a rope around your neck. And a long chain of silk scarves tied together. I wonder how all this stuff works, I thought. I'll have to fool around with it on Saturday and find out. I found a small black sack that held three oval shells and a little red ball. The oval shells are for wiping. The shell game, I realized, one of my favorite tricks. You hide the ball under one of the shells and shift them around. The audience has to guess which shell the ball is under. They always guess wrong because the ball isn't under any of the shells. Magic's just cheating. I don't like it. The magician secretly palms the ball while he's shifting the shells around. Gets a maritime! I reached into the case. My hand brushed against something silky. I pulled it out. It was a black tuxedo jacket. Wow! I gasped. Amazo's own jacket! Why are you surprised that it belongs to Amazo? You done stole his shit. Wow! That woman on the trolley's purse, it belonged to her when I took it. I had to try it on. I pulled it over my shoulders. It was too big. I looked like the dude from the Talking Heads. The shoulders drooped halfway down my arms, and the sleeves covered my hands. But it felt great. I ran my hands over the satin lapels. I stood up and walked around in it. A real magician's jacket. I wonder what he's got in the pockets. Condoms. I stuck my hands in the pockets, but suddenly I felt something wiggle along the back of the jacket near my neck. I shook my shoulders. The wiggling stopped, but then I felt it again. Something came sliding down the sleeve. I shook my arm. What is it? I thought. Is it alive? The thing crawled along my arm. Fucking gross! I sputtered, get off me! I squirmed inside the coat, trying to shake the thing off. I had to get the jacket off right away. I struggled to get my arms out of the sleeves. Then, something poked its head out of the sleeve, near my hand. A snake! A live snake! Oh God, you know how I hate snakes? The other night I was sleeping and our cat, Yoda, who you know is the fat, hairless cat, was going to crawl under the blanket and lay and be warm with my girlfriend, but he went down right by my face, and his slithery snake tail, like, slid all the way along my face like a snake, and I woke up freaking the fuck out as if it was, like, my worst nightmare ever. It was terrible. I'm gonna cut his tail off. She's out of town. She won't notice.
Chapter number 16.
I clamped my mouth shut to keep from screaming. The snake felt warm and creepy against my arm. I shook my arm hard. The snake clung to me. I gritted my teeth and shook my arm, and again, I brushed at my sleeve with my free hand. It wasn't working. I shook my arm once more, as hard as I could. The snake uncoiled and slithered out of the sleeve. It dropped to the floor. It hissed and curved around the toy chest. I watched it with a shiver. Why didn't he step on it? That's what I would have done. I don't get snakes. I don't like reptiles and reptile people. Like mammals, right though, Woody? Yeah. You want to come here? You want to help me record? Come here. Okay. Cat on lap. You want to say something again? You were meowing down there. No? Then I felt it again. That slippery, wriggling feeling. Something hissed near my ear and squirmed across my shoulder. Yodi, remember when you were on my back today and I was trying to get you off, but I couldn't? And then you put all your claws in my back? That was fun for Daddy. Oh! I groaned. Another snake! I slapped at it. Get off me! As I tried to brush the snake away, another one slithered down my sleeve. Something slimy wriggling across my stomach. What do you want, Dodie? Okay, I'm gonna put you down. And down my back. A snake popped out of an inner pocket and plopped to the floor. It started to coil around my leg. The jacket is crammed with snakes, I realized with horror. Oh my god, snakes in a jacket, like the movie. Remember when the internet's like, we're all gonna see that, and then no one really saw it because it was stupid. I hate all those fucking movies, and I haven't seen any of them, so I probably shouldn't talk, but the movies that are campy by intentionally being campy, like, they're not what Troma is, where Troma just tries to be ridiculous and absurd and this and that, but they're the ones that try to, like, appeal to, like, yeah, I'm so quirky, and I hate quirky shit. That's what I hate. Fucking Zooey Deschanel. I thrashed my arms, frantically trying to tear off the jacket. A snake slid down the front of my shirt. I thrashed harder, shaking my arms and legs. Now, I was covered with snakes. My whole body. I wanted to scream, but I couldn't wake Mom and Dad. A snake curled up my neck and around my head. I squirmed, desperately trying to get out of the jacket. Help! I moaned. Oh, help! It's the end of that chapter. I'm gonna have to pull off this old steel reserve and keep going. Chapter number, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chapter number, cat, stop fighting. Number 17. Snakes everywhere. That's gonna be my spooky horror movie that I write. You know, it's for the campy ones, like the Sci-Fi Channel original ones, like I was just talking about, you know. I'm going to sell it to them, and then at the end I'm going to be like, I thought this was stupid all along. And they'll be like, what? So what? We have a movie, and we made a bunch of money off fucking idiots. And I'll be like, damn. I guess I'm the idiot. Except I hopefully got paid. This is ridiculous. I'm just going to keep fucking trudging on. One slithered over my head with a trembling hand. I grabbed at it and heaved it away. Gasping in terror, I struggled out of the jacket. I tossed it on the floor. Snakes wriggled over it. Snakes wriggled over my feet. By the way, the word wriggled, W-R-I-G-G-L-E-D, used to come up in Goosebumps all the time. And for some reason, it would throw me off. So if you listen to the first, I don't know, 40 episodes, when wriggled come up, when it came up, I would just say wiggled. It always fits anyway. It works out. Anyway, I hopped up and down. Then I hopped onto a chair. A snake coiled up the leg of the chair. It crept closer. Go away, I whispered like a parcel tongue. Leave me alone. The snake hissed. I jumped off the chair. Squish! My stomach turned. Did I step on a snake? I was afraid to look. I lifted my foot and glanced down. I hadn't stepped on a snake. It was one of Jiny's old dolls. A snake slid over the doll's face and around its neck. Another snake slithered over my shoe. There's no escape from the snake escape, snake, snake, rape. I realized I've got no choice. I have to wake up Mom and Dad. What else can I do? I hopped around the squirming, hissing snakes. I'll get in trouble, I thought, but at least I'll be out of this snake pit. That's what Slash's other bandmates said, because Slash had a band called Snake Pit after Guns N' Roses. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na! A snake darted toward me, then suddenly froze. The room fell silent, no more hissing. All around me, the snakes stopped moving. They lay stiff on the floor, their cold eyes stared. What happened? They dead? I glanced around, afraid to move. The floor was littered with dead snakes. How could they all die at once? I wondered. It's so weird. I stood there, not moving a muscle. My eyes darted around the room. I slowly reached out my leg and tapped one of the snakes with my foot. It jiggled a little. I took a deep breath. Should I touch it? Once again, if this was a give yourself goosebumps, which people really need to email me on how I should do that, I would say no. And then it would be like, you're a bitch. You lose. The end. You died. I got up the courage to bend close to the snake. I stuck out a finger and poked at it. Nothing happened. My heart pounded. I picked up the snake. It lay limp in my hand. It didn't seem real. I twisted the body. It was rubber. I examined the eyes. They were made of glass. They're mechanical snakes, I realized. obviously they're mechanical snakes without a power source that move on their own volition. If you artificially intelligized a brain that made a snake work like a snake, he wouldn't need to be a goddamn magician. Maybe he's just a really smart engineer with amazing ideas that has like all his patents he's just going to give to charity after he dies, but he really wants to be a magician so he can get close to kids. I turned the snake over. I found a tiny wind-up key hidden under a flap. Amazo's jacket was rigged with wind-up snakes. I began to breathe again. Everything is okay, I told myself. I don't have to wake up mom and dad. I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm not going to be eaten alive by snakes. When will I learn? I scolded myself. All of these things are just tricks. None of them is real. Is that supposed to be are real, or am I just bad with English? Amazo is a magician. I gathered up the snakes and stuffed them back inside the jacket. Then I jammed the jacket into Amazo's magic kit. I took one last look inside the bag. This is amazing, I thought as Dune got a text. I've got some of Amazo's best tricks right here in my own house. I forced myself to close the kit. I'd better stop fooling around with this stuff, I thought, before anything else happens, you know, because the snake thing. I feel like the whole snake incident was just like a weird filler chapter. I feel like this one has a lot of filler. Remember that chapter in the last episode where he just went downstairs? Like, he could have just went, I done went downstairs. Shit was tight. I should write a book in my own grammar. I'll check it out on Saturday, in daylight, when I have plenty of time to see how it all works. Then, I'll give the kit back to Amazo on Monday. I knew I had to return the kit. I had been wrong to take it. And crazy. If only Amazo hadn't been so mean to me. He used me in his act, and then he locked me in the basement, like one of his hussies. He told me to get lost. He called me a punk. I started to get angry all over. Amazo doesn't deserve to get his magic kit back, I thought. But deep down, I knew I had to return it. I wanted to do the right thing, like the Spike Lee movie. I'd check out the tricks, then I'd give them back. Of course, I didn't know how dangerous the kit was. I didn't know the trouble it would cause. If I had known, I would have returned the case that night. Oh, now we gotta read on, don't we? Chapter number 18. Another day of work. Mom sighed at the breakfast table the next morning. I'm absolutely dreading it. Those students just drive me crazy. Why doesn't she get a different job or just end her life, which she's inevitably going to do? What the fuck? These are the most depressing parents ever. Dad grabbed a donut and gazed out the window. It's raining, he said unhappily. I probably won't sell a single car today. All the memories of us will just disappear like tears in the rain. Janie and I exchanged glances. Mom and Dad had no idea we had sneaked out the night before. I slumped into a chair and ate my cereal. I was sleepy. I'm not used to staying up so late. You look tired, Tim, Mom said, sitting across from me. She glanced at Janie. So do you, honey. Didn't you two get any sleep? Dad asked. Sure we did, I replied. Janie grinned. Not that much sleep. Tim and I have a secret. What a bitch. Jesus Christ. Fucking trust no bitches, am I right, fucking Tim? Jesus. That little brat. I kicked her under the table. Ow, she cried. Tim kicked me. Don't kick your sister, Dad scolded. I have to leave. He picked up his briefcase and kissed Mom goodbye. Off to another day of torture. See you tonight, kids. When you're that miserable, you should at least try to hide it from your children and lead a normal life. The girl's 10 years old, and both of her parents are just like, you know, you grow up, you get a soul-crushing job, and you just have to do it because you can't do anything fun anymore because you're kids and you want to up and leave, but you can't because they have a little mouths and you need to feed them or else the government comes around and fucking CPS. Dad left. Mom started clearing away the breakfast dishes. Did you say something about a secret? She asked. No, I insisted. Janie didn't say anything about a secret. She said, Tim and I want a wee pet. Mom shot me a weird look. A what? A wee pet? Yeah, I said. You know, a little pet. a nice little kitten or something. Janie's learning about Scotland in school right now. She's picked up some Scottish words, right, Janie? She's been running around calling everything we.
I have not, Janie protested. I've never called anything we in my life, and I'm not learning about Scotland in school.
Jesus Christ. Yes, you are, I insisted.
What in the world are you two talking about?
Mom carried the pile of cereal bowls to the sink.
We did a bad thing, Mom.
Janie blurted out like the worst person on the planet.
Ow!
I kicked her again, but that didn't stop her.
We sneaked out last night, Mom.
We rode our bikes to Midnight Mansion to see the magic show. We didn't get back until after midnight.
I'm sorry, Mom. Please don't get angry. Tim made me do it. I didn't want to.
I'm like actually, I know I've been offended each time she's said anything, but I'm like offended as an adult listening. Like, whatever little kid part of me's left, my penis, is like, fuck this shit. Like, you fucking bitch. Like, I know that feeling of people snitching. My brother used to like snitching. That was not good.
I covered my face with my hands. Why does Janie have to be such a big mouth?
I'm doomed, I thought. Doomed! And once again, we can see where other people have stolen from R.L. Stein. That italicized doomed with an exclamation point. That's what Jonan Vasquez stole to make Invader Zim. Okay? Don't have anyone tell you otherwise. I'm going to keep chugging along, drinking this tall can.
Chapter 19, Dune likes tall cans.
What did you say, Janie?
Mom asked, wiping her hands on a towel. I was running water in the sink. I couldn't hear you.
I let out a long breath.
I couldn't believe my luck.
Neither could Dune.
I glared at Janie and kicked her again. Really hard this time.
Nothing, Mom, Janie murmured. I didn't say shit.
You two better get ready for school, Mom said. I pushed my chair away from the table and dragged Janie's out for her.
We'll be ready in a minute, Mom, I said.
What the fuck is your problem, bitch? I whispered to Janie in the hall.
You could have got us in big trouble.
You would get in trouble.
Not me, Janie replied. You're the big brother. You made me go.
I didn't make you do anything. And anyways, you promised not to tell.
You promised not to peek into a Mazo's kit until Saturday.
Oh.
But still, revenge is petty. Janie reminded me. But I sneaked up to the attic this morning, and I know you looked. You opened the bag. You even played with some of the stuff.
Me? I did not. I lied.
Yes, you did. One of the sleeves of the jacket was sticking out of the kit, and I found a scarf on the floor, you big fat liar, fat fucking idiot.
So what?
You'll still get to see the stuff on Saturday.
You promised, Janie repeated. She flicked my nose.
I stormed into my room. There was no arguing with Janie. She does whatever she wants. Promise or no promise.
She's always getting me into trouble, I thought angrily.
She drives me crazy.
Another thing. Whoever writes Britney Spears songs just stole that from the great R.L. Stein. God, he's a hero.
I wish there was some way I could pay her back. Some way to pay her back for everything.
Little did I realize I would soon find it. He's gonna turn her into a rabbit. I know. I'm up on this. Shit. Hey, if you tell your friends to listen to Dune Reads Goosebumps, which I would appreciate, tell them to start with the newer ones, because the archive.org page, which I love, starts with the very first episode, which was like, I don't know, 6 years ago, and I didn't find my footing until, I don't know, a little ways into it. Like, I'd stop if I made a mistake, and I wasn't good at reading, and I was miserable in my life. Now I'm stoked on life. Anyway,
chapter number 20. Yeah, stoked on life.
Are you sure you kids don't want to go to the antique show with us? Dad asked.
You might see some neat old junk there.
We're sure, I insisted.
Saturday morning had arrived, and all I could think about was a Mazo's magic kit. I couldn't wait to get my grubby little greasy kid hands on it that are probably covered in syrup and shit. Syrup's so gross on your hands, it's almost not worth it to consume it because it's so disgusting when it gets on your hands and it stinks like syrup all day.
I wished my parents would hurry up and leave.
All right, Mom said.
kissing Johnny, and then me. Mama lesbian, she kissed Johnny. Nailed it! There's tuna salad in the fridge for lunch. We won't be back until dinner time. They're not going to any antique show or fucking swap meet. They're going to do some weird shit to get out their fucking disgust with life.
Be good,
Dad added. I'll be good, Johnny declared. I don't know about Tim. I tried to shove her, but she dodged me. I'll be good, I promised. I'm always good. Mom rolled her eyes. Just don't fight too much, she said. Bye. Ah, at last. As soon as they were gone, I raced to the phone and dialed Foz's number. The coast is clear, I told him. Come on over. I told Foz all about the show at Midnight Mansion and Amazo's magic kit. He begged me to let him see the cool tricks in Amazo's bag. As soon as Foz arrived, we all trooped up to the attic. Jiny made a beeline for the magic kit. I blocked her. Hee-yah! She leaped into a pre-karate chop stance. Get out of my way! Jiny, wait! I pleaded. There's a lot of weird stuff in that bag. Let me show it to you my way. Okay, she relaxed. But don't forget, you're supposed to share with me. I pulled up two chairs. You guys, sit here.
Yoda, what are you doing? You're so fat.
I said to Johnny and Foz, and get ready for the greatest magic show in the history of the world.
The greatest magic show in the history of the world is when fucking Jesus was resurrected, okay?
I reached into the toy chest, and pulled out Amazo's magic kit. I held it up to the Foz and Johnny. First, I began in my magician's voice, gaze deeply into the magic trove. I held the bag near their faces. They stared at it. I yanked it open. Kaboom! It made the exploding sound, just as it did the first time I opened it. Johnny and Foz fell off their chairs like people don't do. What happened? Foz moaned, clutching his head. That thing blew up in my face! How can you not tell the difference between an explosion sound and actually dying? Every one of these people is like, my fucking life ended that moment.
Apparently they don't have to deal with the realities of living in fucking Iran.
I was getting political.
Hey, ISIS, you guys bum me out and I don't like you.
See? That's my political stance on things.
Also, Osama bin Laden, jabroni. Glad he's dead.
I cracked up. It's only a sound effect, I explained. Not funny, Johnny complained. You should have seen your faces, I said gleefully. I reached into the black sack that held the three shells and the red ball. I set the shells in a row on a small table. Watch closely, I said. I held up the red ball. See this ball? I'll place it under one of these shells. I pretended to tuck the ball under the middle shell, but secretly, I palmed the ball and flicked it up my sleeve. I began moving the shells over the table, shifting their places. Keep your eye on the middle shell, I instructed. Then I stopped moving the shells. Which shell is the ball under? I asked. That one, Johnny said, pointing to the shell on the right. Are you sure? I prompted. Foz, where do you think the ball is? I see two balls in your chin, idiot, because you're blowing someone. Never mind. Anyway, the same one as Johnny, he said. I watched it the whole time. If you say so, I said. I was sure the ball wasn't under the shell. It wasn't under any of them. I felt the ball rubbing against my wrist. I lifted the shell and gasped. There was a ball under there. A red ball, just like the one I'd palmed. I know I said I was going to stop mentioning Penn and Teller on the last one, but watch them do their ball routine on the cups when they use the clear cups. Fucking exciting. Very talented. I was right, Johnny crowed. That's a stupid trick. But that's impossible, I cried. I let the ball fall out of my sleeve. I had palmed it. This is very strange, I muttered. Let me try again. I dropped the first ball on the floor. I picked up the second ball and pretended to slip it under a different shell. I palmed the ball and tucked it up my sleeve again. Here we go, I said. That wasn't a magician voice, but you can fill that in mentally. I said, shifting the shells over the table. I slid the shells around a little longer. Then I stopped, wishing that I could do that with aerial shells, am I right? Boobs? Fuck it. The ball is under the first shell, Foz said. Yeah, the first shell, Jiny agreed. This time you're wrong, I cried. I lifted the first shell. Another red ball. Jiny sneered. You're real ace, Tim. Wait a second, I said, lifting up the other two shells. All three of them had red balls under them. But this isn't working at all, I grumbled. I set the shells down, then lifted them again. More balls! There were now three balls under each shell. You could start a ball factory and make tons of money for free. This isn't the shell game I know. I was mystified. There must be some other trick. It was way better than your dumb trick, Jiny said. Those balls are coming out of nowhere. It's coming out of my pants. Like testicles, that's the joke. Some people refer to testicles as balls. Don't worry about it. The shells began to dance as the balls bubbled out of them like popcorn. 10 balls. 20 balls. Little red balls covering the table and bouncing to the floor. They're still coming! Foz cried in amazement. We're going to be up to our necks in red balls. How do I stop this thing? I wondered. Can I stop it? Yoda's perched on some boxes, watching me, like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Gargoyle, and it's very unnerving. Chapter 21. I snatched up the shells and tossed them into their black sack. Then I grabbed all the red balls I could and stuffed them in too. Help me, you guys, I pleaded. Jiny and Foz fell to their knees, eager for balls. Gathering up red balls, we shoved them all into the sack. The ball sack? God damn it. How old am I? Oh God, I'm 28. Oh God, I'm like a month and a half away from being 29. I pulled the string that closed it and dropped it into the magic kit. The black sack kept bubbling. Red balls started bursting out of it. Stop that! I yelled. I reached into the magic case and pulled out the first thing I touched. Then I snapped the case shut. I don't really get that trick, Jiny complained. Here's another trick, I said. This one will be better. Shouldn't you be worrying about, like, the infinite ball-creating thing that's going on in there? Seems like that's going to be disastrous. Because I've read Monster Blood, and I know that when stuff keeps expanding, it's bad. In my hand, I held a flattened top hat. Let's see what this does. I punched the top hat open and placed it on my head. It's just a hat, Foz said, fidgeting. It's kind of hot up here. Can we go down to the kitchen and get something to eat? Such a Foz move. He's so fat. He's going to die at, like, 32. Isn't that how old Emilio is? Isn't Emilio that fat? Hashtag bully Emilio 2015. You guys don't get it, I said. This is a Mazo's magic case. Okay, so I don't know how everything works yet. Once we get it figured out, we could put on the best magic show ever. I could become a famous magician. And I could become a famous magician's sister, Jiny yawned. Big deal. The hat looks way cool on you, Foz said. Now, can we get something to eat? I'm hungry too, Jiny added. Wait, I cried. I felt something move under the top hat. I whipped it off. A white dove, Foz cried. That's a good trick, Jiny admitted. I shook the dove off my head. How do you get it back in the hat? I asked. How do you get it back in the hat? I asked and asked. If he has an infinite dove hat, he could solve world hunger. You know, that's pretty impressive. Before I had a chance to try, another dove popped out of the hat. Looks like he's doing it. He needs to drop that hat off in Liberia. I set the second dove on the floor. There's another one, Foz shouted. A third dove flew out of the hat and settled on top of an old lamp. Out popped a fourth and a fifth. And even if he doesn't want to solve world hunger because he's a bad person, he could still make money by selling the hat to fucking Mike Tyson. You know? I know he's not as rich as he used to be, but the dude's pretty passionate about doves and shit. Foz started laughing. These tricks are totally out of control.
This is no joke, Foz, I snapped. We're going to be in major trouble, Jiny warned. We've got to find a way to get rid of these birds. The attic was quickly filling up with flapping, fluttering doves, and they kept coming. I knew we had to get rid of them, but how? Maybe there's something in here that will help. I ripped open the magic case. Kaboom! It made that stupid exploding sound again. Dozens of little red balls flew in my face, as if getting bukkakied by a bunch of engines. I'm really getting sick of this, I muttered. I brushed away piles of balls. I pulled out a long black stick with a white tip. A magic wand. Maybe this will help, I cried. I hoped it would. The attic was a total mess. White doves and red balls everywhere. This is the answer, I declared. Amazo probably uses this wand to make the magic stop. I hope you're right, Jiny said. If that doesn't work, you and I are going to have to run away from home. It'll work, I insisted. It's got to. I waved the wand in the air. Stop, I shouted. Everything stop.
Chap, 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 tur, 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 20, two, 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 two.
Did it work? No, of course not. Fucking it never works, right? Plus, they still have fifth of the book left, or sixth, whatever. More doves flew out of the hat. More red balls bubbled out of the black sack. That magic wand is the only thing in there that doesn't work, Foz joked. Be quiet, fatty, I snapped. I've got to think. Yikes! Jiny screamed. A snake! She pointed at the magic case. A snake slithered out of it. Then a second. A third. The mechanical snakes had come back to life. Oh my god, who was twisting those little keys? I'm flipping the keys, am I right? Never mind. Hissing snakes soon covered the floor, wriggling over the bouncing red balls. Dove feathers fell from the ceiling, and assumingly their poo-poo went in their mouths, and they went like, eh, and it's on their tongue, and their tongue's white and gross and covered in poo-poo. The attic was so crowded I could hardly see across the room. Jiny yelped as a snake began to crawl up her leg. Let's get out of here! She cried. She yanked open the attic door. She and Foz hurried downstairs. I grabbed the magic case and followed them. A snake slithered after me. Get back in there, I yelled. I picked up the snake and threw it into the attic room. I shut the door. I pushed on it to make sure it was closed, and then I ran downstairs and out to the backyard. A gust of March wind slapped my face. I regret actually slapping my face. What the fuck? Why? That was so unnecessary. Jiny's long hair flew out behind her. Snakes! Ick! She squealed. Tim, what are we gonna do? When Mom and Dad see the attic, we're dead meat. Foz stared at the magic case. What did you bring that out for? It's dangerous. It's okay if we stay outside, I told him. So what if a bunch of birds come out? They'll fly away. I wasn't sure about that. I wasn't as sure about that shit as I sounded like I was sure about that shit, but sure enough, I said that shit. But I couldn't give Amazo's case back without seeing everything in it first. I just couldn't. Hurry up, Tim, Jiny whispered. I'm starving. It's lunchtime. Oh, I'm too good to eat dove. Wait, wait. I opened the magic case. Kaboom. It didn't sound so loud outside, especially with the wind blowing as hard as it was. I held the magic wand poised between my fingers. What does this do? I wondered. I waved it around, trying out new magician names. The Great Incredible-O. Mr. Terrific. Drunkle Stiltskin. Dune McKay. Eenie.
That's not my last name. I lied. That's my last name, I'm sorry. And that's how I got in trouble.
That's not bad. Get out of there, Jiny. She was rummaging through the magic kit.
You promised we'd share it, member?
She snapped. Then her face brightened. Hey, great. She pulled a carrot out of Amazo's bag. Oh shit, she's gonna eat the carrot and turn into a rabbit. Just what I needed, something to eat. Put that back, I ordered. It's still fresh, she said. Yum.
No 10-year-old says yum to a carrot.
She opened her mouth, ready to bite the carrot. Jiny, no, I cried. Maybe you shouldn't eat that. Maybe.
Jiny,
never listens to me. She crunched down on the carrot. A flash of white light blinded me for a moment. When my eyes focused, I saw the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life.
What, boobs? Is it a butt? That'd be funny if someone's like, I traveled the world and the greatest thing I've ever seen is a rad butt.
Anyway, it's probably not a rad butt. It's probably her turning into a rabbit, like I've been saying since like the second chapter.
Steerism.
Chapter 23. The carrot dropped to the grass. Jiny's nose twitched. Then she began to shrink. As she shrank, her hair turned from blonde to white, like Khaleesi. Her nose turned pink, like Santa Claus. White fur and whiskers sprouted from her face, like, also like Santa Claus? She grew smaller, furrier, whiter.
One of those things is good. Nailed it.
I don't believe it, Foz gasped. Your sister, she's a rabbit. Jiny sat on the grass, twitching her little pink nose. She stared at me with the rabbity eyes. She waved her little paws and made angry rabbit noises.
What do rabbits sound like? I haven't had rabbits, but I'd like to have them running around. I want goats. The girlfriend keeps, like I was saying, like, I think I said this, talking about moving to Colorado, where she is right now. And I'm like, huh. But the thing was, I was like, all right, well, you make more money than me. You can work, and I won't, and I'll just be a stay-at-home crazy dude and record podcasts all day and ridiculous rap albums. We'll see if that works out. It would be weird. I know we already discussed it on there, but clearly it's on my mind because she seems to be having a good time there. Anyway, the rabbit sounds, they probably sound like, that's my assumption.
Man, she is steamed, Foz cried. I was stunned. I wished it. I murmured, and now it's come true. What are you talking about, Timmis? Fox demanded. He grabbed me by the shoulders. Get it together, Tim. We've got to do something. What's going to happen when your parents get home? I told Jiny I'd turn her into a rabbit, I explained, still dazed, to get back at her for ruining all my magic shows. And now she is a rabbit. Jiny, the rabbit, rose on her hind legs, gesturing angrily at me. Then she bounced up and thumped my shin with one of her big rabbit feet.
Aw, you should cut off your sister's foot, it's lucky.
Ow! I cried. That hurts as much as one of her karate kicks. Aw, that's my movie I'm selling to sci-fi. Karate Rabbit. It's got the kick of a man and the body of a rabbit.
And also it can freeze time, because that would be cool.
Look in the kit, Tom.
Tim? Sorry, I forgot your name, bruh. Foz urged me.
There's got to be some way to change her back. You're right, there's gotta be. My eyes fell on the carrot in the grass. The carrot, I said. When Jiny bit it, she turned into a rabbit. But maybe, if a rabbit bites it, it turns into a girl. Foz shook his head. What are you, fucking retarded?
Huh?
I snatched up the carrot. We've got to try it. There's nothing to lose, right? She's already a rabbit. What else could happen to her?
She'd become a different rabbit.
I shoved the end of the carrot toward Jiny's mouth. Come on, Jiny. Take another bite. She stared at the carrot suspiciously. She clamped her mouth shut and turned her face away. You little bitch, I shouted. You want me to get in trouble, don't you? You want to stay a rabbit just to get me in trouble. Foz grabbed the carrot out of my hand. Calm down, Tim. You're scaring her. Jiny's long rabbit ears perked up. She heard something. I heard it too. A car coming, pulling into the driveway. Hurry, Jiny, I cried. I think Mom and Dad are home. Take a bite of the carrot. It'll turn you back into a girl. I know it will. Based on a weird hunch that I have. Jiny eyed me suspiciously. She sniffed the carrot with her twitchy pink nose. Hurry, I shouted again. She opened her mouth and took a nibble of the carrot. Foz and I watched her in a panic. Please let it work, I prayed. Please let it work! Chapter 24. Jiny's rabbit nose twitched. Her ears stood straight up. Then they flopped down. Nothing happened. She was still a rabbit.
That's like saying, like, I'm too drunk, I can't drive. Wait, what if I have a few more drinks? That'll sober me up. Mom and Dad, I cried, they're here. Foz, stay with Jiny. If Mom and Dad acts, say she's your sister's rabbit. I ran to the driveway. A car was backing out. Not Mom and Dad. Just someone turning around in our driveway. That's very rare, especially in a small town. Close one. The wind gusted as I ran back to fart in Jiny. Wow. The wind gusted as I ran back to Foz and Jiny. Part of me was mentally debating whether or not to make a fart joke, and I decided against it, but somehow Foz became fart because my brain... You know, it's hard to think of things and read at the same time. Foz was on his knees, digging through the magic kit. Jiny hopped up and down impatiently. The magic wand lay in the grass. Maybe this will work now, I hoped, picking it up. I've got to change her back. I waved the wand over Jiny. Turn my sister back into a girl, I cried. Nothing. Maybe you need to say the spell in a rhyme, Foz suggested. Magicians always do that. All right. Okay. I waved the wand again. Let me think. Magic wand, winds that whirl, turn Jiny back into a girl. The wand began to shake. Something's happening, I shouted. The white tip of the wand broke open. Out popped a white silk handkerchief. Wow! Foz gasped. A blue one flew out. Then a red one. Then a yellow one. The wind blew them away before I could catch them. I turned back to Jiny. Still a rabbit. It didn't work, I said unhappily. I tossed the wand into the grass. It only makes stupid handkerchiefs. I crossed over to the magic case. Jiny leaped at me, trying to bite at my leg. That's not going to help anything, is it, Jiny? What I say earlier about revenge, not worth it. Watch out, I warned her. I'm trying to help you. See, that's what Dune said. She twitched her nose in disgust. Foz moved aside as I dove into the magic kit. I dumped everything out. A slip of paper tumbled out of a pocket in the case. I snatched it up. At the top of the paper, I saw the word instructions. It's probably instructions. Let's read on. Look, I cried. Instructions. Read on, Dune. Okay. I patted Jiny between the ears. I'll have you back to normal in a second. I raised the paper to read what it said. Instructions to use the magic top hat. No, that's not what I need right now. Hurry, Tim, Foz said. I scanned the paper, searching for anything about rabbits. Here's something, I announced. The magic carrot, ... Just then, a strong gust of wind blasted off. Fucking bullshit. I hate this R.L. Stein shit. There's just a gust of wind and you drop the paper? When does that ever happen, fucking ever? Fuck that. Ugh, I'm drinking. Okay. No, I'll read the book as is. Just then, a strong gust of wind blasted across the yard. The paper flew out of my hands. No, I shouted. Grasping for the paper. I need that. What the fuck kind of phoning in was going on here? I need that? I watched helplessly as it flew out of my reach. High up in the sky. Wow. I'm going to keep going because I'm just upset and I want something better to happen. Chapter 25 better be better than 24. Get that paper, I screamed. Uh-oh. Oh, it's recording. Never mind. The wind blew it across the yard. I darted after it. Foz zoomed ahead of me, yelling, I got it. The paper floated within his reach. He dove for it. Whoosh. Another strong gust of wind. The paper fluttered away. Foz fell flat on his face. I like alliteration every time. I ran past him, following the paper. It blew across my neighbor's yard. Get it! Foz shouted, racing after me. It's headed for the woods! The wind died for a minute. The paper settled on the grass. I pounced on it. But the wind picked it up before I landed. This may be my least favorite Goosebumps. because of the one chapter about going downstairs and now this utterly unrealistic thing about the paper just flying away again and again, like making bad fucking slapstick Three Stooges comedy. "The paper blew away again! Rats!" I cried. "There it goes!" Foz shouted. The paper drifted toward the stream. The paper floated above the stream, then landed in the water. Foz zipped across the yard to grab it. "Don't let it get wet!" I screamed. Too late. The paper was soaked. It got wet without even trying, like Andrew W.K. "I've got it!" Foz shouted. He leaned over the stream and snatched at the paper. But the current carried it away. Foz and I chased it down the stream, panting. But we couldn't run as fast as the current. "It's getting away," I huffed. A few seconds later, we lost sight of the paper. Foz and I collapsed on the ground. "That's it," I groaned. "We'll never get it back now. So, how do I turn Johnny back into a girl?"
Alright, I'll start actually reading again, but that was bullshit, right? We can all agree that was stupid.
Foz heaved himself to his feet and pulled me up by the hand, like the video for A-ha's take on me. "Don't panic, Tim. Panicking isn't going to help." Great advice. We hurried back to Jiny. I hoped maybe she'd magically turned back into a girl while we were gone. No such luck. Jiny knew we hadn't found the instructions. She bounced around the yard, squealing angry rabbit squeals.
That's what it sounded like that time.
Foz rubbed his short hair as he watched her. "Boy, she's really stressed," he said. I fell to my knees to talk to her. "Don't worry, Jiny," I soothed. "I've got an idea. I'm going to take you to Amazo right now. He'll turn you back into a girl. I'm sure he will." With one of her long rabbit ears, Jiny flicked my nose. She couldn't say boing. She didn't have to. I knew what she meant. "Oh, sisters. Let's pick this stuff up," I said to Foz. We began to gather all the tricks off the grass and pile them into Amazo's magic case. Amazo won't want to help us if we don't give him back his magic kit. Foz took my bike, balancing the magic kit on the handlebars. I picked up Jiny. "Okay, little rabbit sister, I cooed." She let me pull her up by the back and then nipped me on the wrist. Nipping the wrist and flicking the brick in the kitchen.
Sorry. I don't know what's going on with me.
"Ow! I dropped her. Do you want me to help you or not?" She hopped up and down angrily. I knew what she was thinking. If I didn't change her back into a girl, I'd be in as much trouble as she was. I had no choice. I reached for her again. "Don't bite me this time," I warned her, "or I'll put a muzzle over that little snout of yours."
What a jerk.
She squirmed in my arms, but didn't bite. I set her in the basket on her bike. I'm glad it was her bike, because if he had a dude bike with a basket, he'd either be a paperboy or a homosexual. "To Midnight Mansion," I told Foz. We set off, pedaling hard against the strong wind. I rode through town in a daze. Jiny's long white ears waved in my face. Amazo's words rang in my ears. "Beat it, punk," he said. I wondered if he'd really help me. He's got to, I told myself. He'll be glad to get his magic kit back. I will make him help, I decided. I won't give him the kit until he turns Jiny back into a girl. We pulled into the parking lot in front of the Midnight Mansion. The old castle looked just as scary in the daytime as it did at night. There were no floodlights casting shadows on the stone towers, but the gray, vine-covered walls gave the place a spooky, abandoned feeling. I skidded to a stop in front of the mansion. Foz carried the magic kit. I grabbed Jiny out of the basket. My brain was still trying to come up with a joke related to Vine, the app, and the video service that you mostly only see on WorldStar videos, and the vine-covered walls. I was going to be like, it's a bunch of people making dumb racist jokes, but it's fucking stupid. Speaking of dumb people making racist jokes, behave, I told her, as we climbed the front steps to the mansion. Remember, I'm trying to help you. Don't go biting me or anything. She twitched her nose at me. She lifted her little rabbit lips and bared her tiny rabbit teeth. Go ahead, bite me, I whispered. See how you like spending the rest of your life as a rabbit. You don't even like lettuce. She closed her mouth and twitched her nose again. It doesn't matter whether she's a girl or a rabbit, I thought.
You should probably change her back into a girl.
Doesn't matter about your opinion. That's why kids can't vote. Either way, she's a pain in the neck. We stopped at the top of the steps.
Oh no,
I gasped. I don't believe it. The sign on the front door read, "Sorry, we're closed."
What do you mean you don't believe that a nightclub is closed during the day?
It's not called a day club. Ah. Just saying.
Chapter
26 now. Champion of the bootleg audiobooks.
No!
I cried. I banged my forehead against the door, because self-harm helps everything.
Foz said, "This place gives me the creeps. It looks like Count Dracula's castle."
He shivered.
"Let's get out of here."
Oh. Now you have a problem with Romanians. That's why gypsies have a bad rap.
He set the magic case down. Amazo's magic kit is so heavy. Do you think we can leave it by the door?
I glared at him.
No, we can't leave it by the door, you fat idiot. We're not going home, not yet.
I squeezed Jiny in my arms, thinking, okay, so the place is closed, but Amazo could be in there, rehearsing or, you know, doing blow or, you know, strange women or something, right?
He could be, I guess, Foz said. But chances are, we've got to take the chance.
I insisted. Have you seen 8 Mile? Look, if you had one chance and one opportunity, you know?
Obviously.
I tried the front door. Locked, of course.
There must be another way in, I said.
A back door or something. As I would tell women in the future, I dashed down the steps around the side of the club.
There has to be another way in. I know that it's the time of the...
Never mind. Bring the case, Foz, I ordered. He followed me, lugging the kit.
I kept my eyes peeled for guards,
like bananas. It doesn't say that, and that added nothing, and maybe it took away some stuff. I regret yelling like bananas.
At the back of the mansion, we found a door. I tried it. It opened easily. We crept inside. We found ourselves in the club's kitchen. It was long, narrow, and shiny clean. The lights were off, but we could see by the light from a window at the end. Foz paused in front of a huge stainless steel refrigerator. Ooh, classy.
I bet they've got some great food in here,
he whispered.
Lemon meringue pie or something.
What a fat fucking idiot. The sister is seriously a rabbit, and he's like, let's go eat some stuff, because I'm comic relief.
I tugged at his arm. There is no time for a snack, fatty fat shit, I snapped.
Come on.
We left the kitchen and entered a long, dark hallway.
I recognized that hall. It was the same hallway I'd walked down after my escape from the basement, the first time Amazo let me down.
There'd better not be a second time, I muttered under my breath.
We tiptoed down the dark hall. Up ahead, I saw the door to Amazo's dressing room. It was half open.
A dim light spilled out into the hallway.
Yes, I thought to myself, that's a good sign.
With Jiny in my arms, I crept to the door.
Please, please let him be in there.
I prayed. Please be here, Amazo. Please help us.
I stopped in front of the door. I took a deep breath.
Mr. Amazo? Are you her?
Check this move out. Water. Steel Reserve. Water. Hydration.
Chapter 27, keep going on. Yeah, 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 yeah. Dune, 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 dune. All right, dune.
No reply. I tried again.
Mr. Amazo, hello?
He's not here, Foz said. Let's go.
He probably wants to go to, like, what's that shitty buffet that... This joke isn't working. Let me Google shitty buffet. I know it has like a cowboy name, right? Or something like that. Shitty buffet. Golden Corral. It came up on Google. Thank you. The Golden Corral. I've never been there, but I assume Foz's fat ass loves it. Anyway,
shh. I pushed the door open and crept into the dressing room. One small lamp cast a dim pool of light on the dressing table. The great Amazo sat on the couch, his left side facing the door. He was staring at the wall. He didn't seem to notice us.
Mr. Amazo?
I said politely. It's me again, the kid you made disappear in your magic show. I thought Amazo would turn his head to face us, but he didn't. Like a coward. Like the cowards who did 9/11. He didn't do anything. He just sat there. Man, I thought he really hates kids. Or he hates his fans. Or he hates all people like Dune or something. When I become a great magician, I vowed, I won't be like Amazo. I won't let my fame go to my head. The only thing that's going to go to my head is fine quality cocaine. I'll be nice to people. This is ridiculous. I didn't care what Amazo's problem was. I needed his help badly, and I wouldn't give up until I got it. I stepped farther into the dressing room. Mr. Amazo, I'm sorry to bother you, but I really need your help. It's important. Amazo, do you speak Spanish? I know your name ends in O. It's muy importante. No problem, ladies. I'm bilingual. Amazo didn't move. He stared at the wall, silent. Do you think he's asleep? Foz whispered. I shrugged. I took another breath and crept closer to the couch. I know you told me to beat it, I said. I wouldn't bother you if it wasn't a matter of life and death, I swear. Still, no response. I turned back to Foz, who was cowering in the doorway. He looked as if he were ready to run for it. I waved him into the room. Foz stepped in. He set the magic kit on the floor, shaking. I stared at Amazo. He ignored me. Who does he think he is? I thought angrily. He can't treat me this way. I'm not leaving until he helps me turn Jiny back into a girl. I steeled myself and approached the magician. He didn't look at me. I tapped him on the shoulder. He toppled over on his side. Thunk. Huh, what do you think's happening, listeners? I don't think there's going to be like a spoon and a needle in his arm, right? He's not going to die like Odorous from Gwar. I think Odorous wasn't shooting up. I think he was snorting, to be fair to Odorous, but still. R.I.P. Dave Brocky. Foz gasped. Is he? I peered at the body on the couch. He isn't alive, I cried. Amazo isn't alive. Oh no. Foz was wringing his hands in terror. Oh no, he's dead, he's dead, help. He's not dead, I said. He's a dummy. Amazo is nothing but a big wooden puppet. Just like our president's a puppet of the reptilians. When I get ANSI recording, I check the length of the chapters first. And this one's a long one, so I finish the Talcan Steel Reserve first. So, it might all hit me at once, which will be a good thing. Chapter 28! Hoping to get super drunk. How could it be possible? I stared at the puppet on the couch. I couldn't resist touching its cheek, then pinching it, and then just, you know, seeing if they took time to sculpt junk. Just to be sure. Oh, wow. It was true. Amazo was made of wood. Foz sputtered. But I saw him on TV. He looked totally real. And I saw him live, I said, on stage. I stood right next to him, and he made me disappear. Well, he's probably not made of wood. It's probably just a wood dummy of him that he made for some reason, because you were right next to him. You would have noticed the first time. You know, you're paying attention to everything. How can this be? I wondered. How can the greatest magician in the world be a puppet? Oh, I thought Jesus Christ was the greatest magician in the world, and he was just a puppet of the fucking Christian... liberal media. Damn it, I don't think that's a little liberal media. Whatever. Also, that Steel Reserve hit me. This can't be the guy you saw, Foz insisted, poking at the dummy. This is probably just a dummy he keeps around for fun. You know, some sort of real doll of himself that he can, you know. It's not gay, you know, if it's you. You know, it's your own penis. Anyway, the real Amazo has got to be around here somewhere. Rabbit Jiny squirmed angrily in my arms. Calm down, I ordered, trying to pet her. She growled. I've never heard of a rabbit growling before. Only a Jiny rabbit would growl. That's gonna be my new pet name for my girlfriend. Hey, Jiny rabbit. She's gonna hit me. Amazo, my idol, I thought bitterly, was a fake. He turned out to be. What a fake he turned out to be. Not only was he a jerk, he's not even a real person. He's a puppet. What are we gonna do? Foz asked. I shook my head. I have no idea. Now I'll never get Jiny changed back into a girl, I said. Mom and Dad are gonna murder me. Why don't you tell them she ran away? Foz suggested. They'll never believe you.
believe you turned her into a rabbit anyway. What horrible suggestions. Why would she run away? I demanded. She was their little darling. She could do no wrong. I'm the one who should run away. Foz lifted the Amazo puppet's hand, studying it. I wonder how this thing works, he said. A low voice suddenly growled. Hey, punk, I told you to beat it. I froze. Did you say something, Foz? I asked. Obviously it's not Foz, it's the other guy who said that before. He shook his head, eyes wide. He'd heard the voice too. So beat it, get out of here, the voice growled. I glanced around the room. I didn't see anyone. Did the puppet talk? I asked Foz. I don't think so, I stammered. The voice came from the other side of the room. The puppet didn't talk, dummy, the voice grumbled. I turned to find it. I gazed across the room. Amazo's white rabbit sat on a chair in front of the dressing room. Oh my god, that's the guy who controls him. That's why the rabbit was so tame when they're on stage. That's amazing. Oh god, he brought a female white rabbit in there. And she's only 10. Leave him. Leave the girl alone. You can't have her. I told you to get lost. Now get lost, the rabbit growled. Tim, did you see that? Foz stammered. I think that rabbit talked. Of course I talked, stupid, the rabbit snarled. You talked? I echoed in amazement. I guess that thing on the couch isn't the only dummy in this room. What a jerk, the rabbit snapped. I can do lots of things. I'm a magician. Foz and I stared at the rabbit, stunned. Even Jiny stopped squirming in my arms. You're not a magician, Foz said. You're a rabbit. The rabbit's ears twisted. Duh, you guys are really quick. You know that? You don't have to be so mean, I protested, talking to the rabbit magician. And you know, commenting on how the rabbit magician should talk. You don't have to be so stupid, the rabbit replied. Okay, Tim has a point. That guy's a jerk. I may look like a rabbit, but so does your little sister, am I right? He's got a point, Foz admitted. I am the great Amazo, the rabbit announced. In person, that dummy on the couch is a puppet I built to look like me, the old me. My jaw fell open. You're Amazo? What happened to you? The rabbit sighed. It's a long story. Let's just say I had a rival, a real powerful one, a sorcerer, actually. Foz gasped. A sorcerer? Do they really exist? I'm telling you about one, aren't I? The rabbit shouted, once again like a jerk. I don't like this jerk rabbit. Turn to page 76 to ignore the jerk rabbit, right? Am I right? I'm right. Yes, but... So be quiet and listen to the story. Amazo, the rabbit, grumbled. If you'd stop talking, you might learn something. Amazo, sure, was a grouch. Anyway, long story short, Amazo went on. This sorcerer guy, Frank. A sorcerer named Frank? Maybe the sorcerer was named Franklin? And Franklin was a wonderful man that turned into a dog due to a magic dispute. And now licks my feet every night? Oh, fuck, now that's... Oh, god damn, I hope he's just a dog. I didn't mean to interrupt. It just slipped out. The rabbit glared at me. Yes, a sorcerer named Frank. You got a problem with that? I shook my head. I got 99 problems, but a sorcerer named Frank ain't one. Can I finish talking now? You got any more stupid questions? Foz and I both shook our heads. This guy's named Foz, Amazo gestured toward Foz, and you want to make fun of a guy named Frank? I'm sorry, I said. I didn't mean to make fun of Frank. He's a very powerful guy, Amazo said. I'm proof of that. The rabbit hopped out of the chair, crossing the dressing room, and sat on the couch next to the dummy. Here's what happened, he began. I was at the height of my fame. I was the most brilliant magician in the world. I made appearances on all the top TV shows. I had millions of fans. Dopey little kids like you looked up to me, and oh boy, I took advantage of that. Hey, I protested. Stop calling us dopey. Amazo ignored me. He continued.
My tricks were the most amazing anyone had ever seen, and Frank was jealous. He was a sorcerer, working alone in a basement.
That fool definitely ran Linux, I'm just saying.
He could cast amazing spells, but he was kinda ugly, with a high-pitched voice. People didn't take him seriously, like MC Chris.
Sorry, I have beef with MC Chris. Have you read all the stuff about on the internet about that dude being an asshole? Do you know who that dude is? I hope not. Anyway, that dude stayed at my house, like, one night when he was, like, touring and was a fucking prick living in my home for one night. And I was like, yeah, never listen to your shit again, you fucking asshole. And then you go on, like, Reddit and, like, his AMA is just people like, you were an asshole to everyone. And he's, like, a tiny little douche, so you can't hit him. But, like, fuck that guy. The point is, fuck MC Chris. Anyway, let's keep going on.
He wanted to be famous like me, but he wasn't. So, he turned me into a rabbit. Very funny, right? Ha ha. Turned the magician into a rabbit. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Foz and I exchanged baffled glances. Amazo was turning out to be a little weird.
I'm not powerful enough to reverse Frank's spell, Amazo went on. I'm a magician, not a sorcerer, but I refuse to let him stop me. So, I built that mechanical dummy over there. I made him look just like me.
How'd you do that without thumbs, bitch?
And I kept doing my own shows, just as before.
So you control the puppet? Foz asked. You make it look as if he's the magician performing all the tricks?
I just said that, didn't I?
Amazo snapped.
Are you hard of hearing, kid?
You're really rude, you know that, Amazo? I said. I was getting sick of his put-downs. You're the rudest person, or rabbit, or, you know, whatever, I've met in my entire life. You're worse than the fucking rabbit from Holy Grail, you know? And that thing killed people.
Amazo's long ears drooped. Hey, I'm sorry, he said. Being a rabbit gets on my nerves, but also, I can't let people get too close, you know? I don't want anyone to find out my secret. It could ruin me.
You're in entertainment. How could being a talking rabbit with the brain of a human ruin you? That could make it so you're not a magician, but like a legitimate entertainer. Oh god, I'd go pay to see the talking rabbit.
Jiny squirmed in my arms. I'd nearly forgotten all about her. I realized I'd better hurry up and ask Amazo to help me change her back. We're in terrible trouble, Amazo, I said, holding Ginny.
Really, I made it all this way without saying Ginny and... Okay.
Holding Jiny toward him. This is my sister Jiny. She ate some of the carrot that was in your magic kit. So you confessed, you? You stole my magic kit?
I only borrowed it? I stammered. I brought it back, see? I'm sorry.
I'll bet you are, Amazo snapped.
Can you help us, Amazo? I pleaded.
Please, can you help me turn Jiny back into a girl? Amazo studied Jiny with his beady rabbit eyes.
I held my breath, waiting for his answer. He settled deeper into the couch and shook his head.
Sorry, he said. There's nothing I can do for her. Chapter 29. No! I moaned, sinking into a chair. You were my last chance. I'm doomed.
You were the first chance, too, to be fair. Feeding her the rabbit again didn't really help.
You didn't let me finish, Amazo said. There's nothing I can do for her, because the magic will wear off by itself.
Yo, all right, Foz exclaimed, saying yo for the first time in a Goosebumps book. He shot both fists into the air.
But when?
I asked. My parents are coming home soon.
How many bites of the carrot did she take?
Amazo asked. Two, I replied.
How long ago?
About an hour ago, I answered.
Okay, Amazo said. She should turn back into a girl in half an hour. Do you feel better now?
I nodded and sighed with relief. That was a close one, I thought. But everything gonna be okay.
Hey, Foz said, jumping up. We'd better hurry up and take Jiny home before she turns back into a girl. We don't have enough bikes to go around.
I pushed Jiny into his arms. Take her home, Foz, I said. I'll be there in a few minutes. I wanted to talk to Amazo a little longer.
Clutching Jiny in his arms, Foz hurried out of the dressing room.
I wouldn't trust Foz with my 10-year-old.
Don't stay too long, he called over his fat fucking idiot's shoulder.
I don't want to be alone with Jiny when she turns back into a girl. I have a feeling she's going to be in the mood to do some karate chopping, am I right? In reply, Jiny beat her hind legs against her chest. I'm right behind you, I promised. Foz disappeared down the dark hallway. Listen, Amazo, I said. I'm really sorry I stole your magic bag. I know it was a terrible thing to do.
Shove this stupid dummy aside and sit down on the couch,
Amazo said. I moved the dummy and sat down next to Amazo.
You really love magic, don't you?
He said. My heart still pounding. This was the heart-to-heart magician talk I'd been hoping to have with Amazo all along.
It's my dream to be a magician, I told him. A great magician like you. I'd do anything.
Anything. Wink.
Well, you were great in the show the other night, Amazo said. You disappeared very well, kid.
Thanks. Amazo sat quietly for a moment. He seemed to be thinking.
Say, kid, he said at last, how would you like to join the act? I'm getting real tired of working with that big wooden dummy over there.
Me? Now, my heart was really racing, as if I'd done some poppers.
You want me in the act? I got so excited, I jumped off the couch. Then, I quickly sat down again. Do you mean an Amazo? Do you think I could?
Amazo hopped over the dressing room door. He kicked over to the dressing room door and kicked that bitch shut. He kicked the door shut after hopping to it.
Why don't we give you a try?
Dot, dot, dot. That ends the chapter.
Chapter 30.
And that's how I joined Amazo's act. I was so excited about being a magician, I said yes without thinking about it. I guess I should have asked a few questions first, like, will there be molestation? And why does anyone want to be a magician? Don't get me wrong, I love being on stage in front of clapping, cheering audiences, but I don't like hiding inside the black top hat, and I hate it when the Amazo dummy pulls me up too hard by the ears. That really hurts. I also hate it when they forget to clean my cage.
Sometimes they forget about it for days. Oh no, and he's hanging out in his own poo-poos.
I guess I made a little mistake. See, when Amazo said he was tired of working with the big dummy, I thought he wanted me to take the dummy's place. I didn't realize he wanted to retire and have me take his place. I'm not complaining. Amazo gives me plenty of juicy lettuce and all the carrots I can eat. I even have a stage name now of my own. At last, it may not be my first choice, but it's still a professional name. Fluffy. Up there with Dune. Fluffy beats a fucking big ass pile of sand or whatever the fuck my name means. The best part is, I'm on stage every night in a real magic act. My dream, my all-time dream. And how many kids, I mean rabbits, can say their all-time dream came true at the age of 12? I'm really lucky. Don't you agree? Alright. That was a shitty Goosebumps, and I'm going to put this call at the end of it because I enjoyed it, and it was bizarre, and it came in while doing Goosebumps, or the text did, which made the call. And, it's relevant, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting. Alright. Hey, I was going to text you back, but it's hard to text when they see, I think I just saw a UFO, so I wanted to call, and I'm also recording it because I want to hear your explanation.
Oh, nothing. We were, sitting down, and I, turned my head, and this weird, thick, almost teardrop-shaped light, it was huge. It was, so huge, and I just caught it flying across the window. In the sky.
How quickly and at, what angle?
Huh?
How quickly?
The teardrop. I don't know. I mean, it was a blink, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was, so fast. But it's super, super cloudy outside.
Uh-huh.
And it was, under the clouds. It was so bright. It was not a plane. It was just so crazy. And then Christy was like, I told her. And then, of course, she was like, yeah, there's lots of activity out here. And so we've been watching videos. And I'm like, we were watching one. And I was like, holy fuck, that's exactly what it looked like. It was crazy.
I literally just Googled teardrop UFO, and there's, like, pictures of it all over.
Yeah, it was, like, the teardrop was, you know, like, where the end of the rocket would be if it was, like, a rocket. It was, like, the point of it. It was very, very crazy.
And it just, how quickly, like, was the trajectory, like, a straight line?
Yeah, it was just, like, it basically, like, flew... Like, I could see it flying directly, like, under, in a perfect line underneath, like, the window, you know?
Yeah.
It was just, like, flying in a perfect line. It was so fast, though.
I was trying to see where military bases are near Denver. Apparently they're everywhere near Denver, but fucking interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna send you something. What did you say? The Colorado Springs UFO guy? Oh, yeah. The Colorado Springs UFO guy. The Colorado Springs UFO guy.
Who's that?
You can go YouTube it. Just say, Colorado Springs UFO. It's the first video.
Okay.
And there, she said that there's a lot of UFO sightings like that, so...
I'm so fucking interested in this. I love that I believe in nothing, and then anytime anything happens, I'm so into it. Like, every time we go hike, I'm like, that's Sasquatch. And I'm like, 40% joking.
I know.
Oh, well. I'm gonna take you off speaker in a second, but I may use this as an outro if I have your permission. And if that's the case, will you just say, stay spooky, bitches?
Stay spooky, bitches.
I love you. Hold up, I'm taking you off speaker.